The gospel is so amazing. It gives all of us a new beginning. The gospel gives you every day a new opportunity to walk and serve Jesus. My outline is very simple. Everybody, know, believe, live the gospel. So, that you will never forget, copy me. Know, believe, live it. Okay, let's start with knowing. You know, the Bible tells us knowledge is important. Hosea chapter 4, everybody read this together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. God is talking to the priest. But the whole principle is this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you now understand why Satan does not want people to be able to discuss issues without counseling people? Today, young people, even mature people, have lost the art of discussion, the art of debate. You know why? We just don't know how to disagree. We don't know how to discuss. Have you heard of this statement? I have made up my mind. Don't convince me. Have you heard of that? I have made up my mind. Don't give me the facts. How can that be? You know why? We have not learned how to think. So you got to know the truth. Ignorance is not bliss. Knowledge, you got to know. If you don't know, it will cost you a lot. It will impact your future. So the Bible tells us the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Corinth to understand. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 together, verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which you also receive, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Let's begin. Now I make known. That word known is from the Greek word ginosko. The idea is I want you to know intimately, not just in the head. I like you to know and believe this in the heart. Many people have no idea what is the gospel. The gospel means good news. This gospel is so crucial. The Bible says you are saved. In other words, if you believe the gospel, it affects your eternal destiny. You are saved. In other words, is it possible for people to be in church and not know the gospel and they are not saved? According to this verse, I'm reminded only two kinds of people. Saved, not saved. I am not being a bigot. I'm not being judgmental, but that's what the Bible says. Saved or not saved. Not only that, notice the next verse. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you. This is grammatically in the present tense. Gospel, if you are truly a follower of Jesus, you will believe it and you will continue to cling on to the gospel. My friend, the gospel is not opinion. The gospel is not just a good idea. It is an announcement. It is a declaration. It is a historical event. These are facts. The Bible tells us the gospel is good news. It is a fact. It is something that is true. So, what is the gospel? Let's continue reading. 15 verse 3. Together, I delivered to you as of first importance. He's now telling you what is the gospel. One thing you learn about the gospel, it is of first importance, protos. It is the most important. You want to know the Bible, you want to know the gospel, this is it. 1 Corinthians 15, he now tells you what is the gospel of primary importance, which I also received. Why is that important? Because Paul is saying, I did not invent the gospel. The gospel is something given. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1 and 2, God, Jesus, directly gave him the gospel. It was so amazing that it changed the life of Paul. It was so unbelievable, Paul had eventually, he had to visit the apostles to compare the notes. And he agreed, they all agreed, that is the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, here is the gospel. Number one, everybody, Christ died for our sins. So what is the good news? Jesus died in my place for my sins. According to, everybody read, according to the scriptures. Why is that important? He was buried. Why is that important? He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Why is that phrase repeated? According to the scriptures, according to the scripture. Can I tell you something? Because God wants you to know, He loves you. The day we fell into sin, God wants you to know, He's thinking of you, He's thinking of me. You see, the gospel is not something invented by men or angels. God thought of this long time ago. It was not an afterthought. The gospel is God's message to you and to me that He loves you, but that you have a problem. What do we mean according to scriptures? Notice, according to scriptures. In other words, the coming of Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. As early as the book of Genesis chapter 12, the Bible tells us, Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you, referring to Abraham. The one who curses you, I will curse. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How in the world can all the families be blessed because of Abraham? Genesis chapter 22, 18 tells us, everybody read, in you, in your seed, in your offspring, Abraham, in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Who is the offspring of Abraham that is blessing the whole world today? Answer, Jesus. Born of a Jewish family, born of David, born of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then the Bible tells us, so that you will understand prophecy, one of the most amazing books ever discovered during the discovery of the Qumran cave. The Qumran cave is in the southern part of Judea. It is so dry that the parchments, the documents are well preserved. It is right near the Dead Sea. It is called the Dead Sea Scroll. The Dead Sea Scroll contains the entire book of Isaiah, intact. Now, why is that significant? Now, there are many books there. You have Daniel, you have Genesis, Exodus, but I like Isaiah because it is the most prophetic. And I will show you an example of the most prophetic book of the Old Testament that is preserved intact. Isaiah chapter 53. Crucifixion was not yet invented. Crucifixion was invented by the Persian, perfected by the Romans. But when this Isaiah was written, this book, 700 BC, before the coming of Christ, look at what it says. He was pierced for our transgressions. The word transgressions means what? You have purposely go against the law. Parabasis. You go against. The next word for sin, he was crushed for our iniquities. That word iniquities deals with perversion. all kinds of sinful perversion. What the Bible is saying is this: Jesus died on the cross. He died for your sin and my sin as prophesied. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging, we are healed. What can be clearer than what the Bible is saying? Let's look at one more verse. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Everybody read this. Each of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. The Lord, notice, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the very name of God, the Lord, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on capital H, I am. Who is this him? Jesus, the Son of God. One more verse in Isaiah. Even how he would die and how he would be buried was prophesied. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Let me ask you a question. Who buried Jesus? Which rich man buried Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible describes him as rich. He was prophesied in the Bible that he would be the one to do with the burial of Jesus. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days. Talking about how Jesus, even though after his death, he will still see future descendants. It has to do with the resurrection. Let's look at Romans. Okay, Romans chapter 1. The importance of resurrection. Everybody, please read with me. Together, ready, go. According to the flesh, Jesus is the Son of, everybody read, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The foundation of the entire Christianity, your faith, rests on Jesus died and rose again. Why is the resurrection so important? The resurrection is so important because the resurrection proves to us Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection proves to us Jesus is more than just a man. He is not in the same league as Confucius, as Buddha, as Muhammad, or any great man. He is more than a man. He died and rose again to prove beyond doubt he is the Son of God. Therefore, I like what Tim Keller said. Everybody read this together. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. The issue is not whether you like what he said or not. It is not whether you agree or disagree with what he said, but whether he rose again from the dead. The reason why I believe, and you need to know why you believe. Why do you believe in Jesus? Answer. He died, buried, and rose again from the dead. For me, I have decided to follow Jesus because he died and rose again. What about you? Have you decided to follow Jesus? To trust him? So, what is the gospel? Everybody, you must know what? Know that Jesus died for our sins, buried, and rose again. No. Next, what must you do with the gospel? Believe. Do you know why you believe? Do you know why you believe Jesus rose again? Have you thought about it? Think about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 and 8, to let you know why you believe what you believe. Why? Let's read this together. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now. Some have fallen asleep. He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. The Bible is not a legend. These are historical documents. The emphasis of the Apostle Paul, he gave three names about the appearance of Jesus. The first name he gave was Cephas. I will tell you why in a short while. The second name he gave was James. I'll tell you why later on. This is the brother of Jesus. He never believed in Jesus. John chapter 7, the Bible says they did not believe in Jesus. The brothers of Jesus did not believe. My friend, let's face it. If you and I are the brothers of Jesus, and we were playing Jolene with him, we were playing hide and seek with him, and then suddenly he appears and tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Will you believe? That's why they make fun of him. They say, you just show up in Jerusalem, then your disciples will believe you. They did not believe him. What changed their mind? The resurrection. Jesus purposely appeared to James. James is the half-brother of Jesus who wrote the book of James. And then he appeared to who? To Paul. Why? This is what I like you to understand now. To believe is one thing. To believe in the heart is another thing. For the Apostle Paul, from the head to the heart, and you know why it affected his lifestyle? Because he was so convinced. My friend, I don't know about you, what you believe in Jesus about. But can I tell you, remember, he appeared to how many people? More than 500. Hallucination cannot happen with 500 people at the same time. If all of us see something, it must be true. You cannot say all of us are hallucinating at the same time. The evidence for Jesus is so overwhelming. If this is the most important, the gospel, Jesus died and rose again from the dead. If that is the most important message because it affects your salvation, can you guess what is their first message recorded in the book of Acts? Guess. You don't have to be smart to guess. I'm giving you all the hints. Let's look. The first gospel message preached, God raised him up again. It's all about the resurrection. The Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Acts chapter 4, in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. Notice, he talks about God of our fathers raised up Jesus. These are all first messages, and their emphasis is this. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. In short, what was their first message? Everybody? Jesus died for our sins, buried, and he rose again. Why is the resurrection important? Because the resurrection proves that Jesus is more than just a man, more than just a teacher. He is the Messiah. You know how they died, the apostles and the leaders? Let me show you how they died. James. Now, this is the apostle. He was early beheaded in Jerusalem. This is not James the brother, it's the apostle. Nathaniel, Bartholomew, crucified. Matthew, killed by a sword, Ethiopia. Andrew, crucified, X-shaped cross. Thomas, martyred in India. Philip, crucified in Turkey. Peter, crucified. Upside down. Jude, crucified. James, this is the other apostle, James, beaten, stoned, hit in the head. Simon the Zealot, crucified in England. Matthias, the one who replaced Judas, remember? Crucified in Georgia. James, the brother of Jesus, stoned to death by the Pharisees in Jerusalem. James, the brother of Jesus, refused to run away from Jerusalem. He became the leader of the churches in Jerusalem. But he was martyred. And last of all, of course, Paul. You know why Paul was beheaded, not crucified? Because Paul was a Roman citizen. A Roman citizen is not allowed by law to be crucified. Crucifixion is so cruel that Romans are not allowed. Slow, sure death. Sometimes it will take 3 days, 4 days before a crucified person will die. Amazing torture. Why will they all suffer for something that is not true? Why will you preach? Why will you write about the resurrection, preach about the resurrection, knowing that you will be crucified? Why will you do that? Unless what? It is true. Nobody will die for something knowing it is false. You may die for something because you thought it was true, but you will never die for something knowing it is not true. And you know, one of my favorite lawyers, if you have been to CCF, you will know whom I'm talking to, Simon Greenleaf. Simon Greenleaf is the lawyer that made Harvard Law School famous. This guy was an atheist. He did not believe in Jesus, but he was challenged by young people, like some of you. Professor, why don't you just prove to us that Jesus did not rise again from the dead? He took the challenge. I will do it, and I'll prove to you this is a legend. Do you want to know his conclusion? This is his conclusion. The resurrection is one of the best documented events in the history of man. You need to understand science and the Bible don't conflict. The only difference is the scientific method is something you can repeat. But the legal method is something else. How can I prove to you I was in Indonesia? How can I prove to you last week? How can I prove to you I spoke to many, many, many people in Indonesia? How? I cannot do scientific method. I can repeat. However, I have eyewitnesses. Yes or no? Eyewitness. I have documentation. In other words, the Bible is not anti-intellectual. The only problem is we are lazy and we believe in what the people are saying that you cannot trust the Bible. No, no. Another favorite lawyer of mine, his name is Sir Lionel Lockhoo. Lockhoo is the most successful lawyer according to the Guinness Book of Record. 245 murder acquittals. My goodness, this is your accused of murder. He was able to acquit 245. Is that a good lawyer? Knighted by Queen Elizabeth 2 times. So this guy is respected. He was not a Christian. He was challenged. Why don't you use your brilliant mind and prove that Jesus did not rise again from the dead? Can I tell you why? You cannot disprove Jesus. Historically, he's a historical person. He lived. The only thing you challenge is this. Did he rise again from the dead? Do you want to know his conclusion? All right. This is his conclusion. Everybody read. I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming, it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Let me share with you what does it mean to live it out. Okay? Okay, let's review. What do you do with the gospel to make your life really count? Everybody? No. Everybody? No. Yes. And then what do you do? Believe. And what do? You live it. How do you live it? I want to show you. Remember those three persons? Paul, James, Peter. Let's look. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. I am the least of the apostles. I am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether I then, it was I or they, we preach and you believe. Ladies and gentlemen, will you invite the Apostle Paul to become a pastor of CCF? Yes or no? You know, reality, you will not. That was the experience of Paul. When he first came to Christ, the disciples will not want to associate with him. Let me tell you why. Because he was a persecutor. He killed Christians. He sent them to jail. Imagine your loved ones were part of the victims of the Apostle Paul. Will you ever want Paul to be the senior pastor? Probably you will say, I don't trust this guy. The Bible says they did not trust him. They don't want to associate with him until Barnabas guided him. Do you know it took Paul more than 13 years, 12 to 15 years, to gain the trust of the early church? But Paul experienced the grace of God. I want you to know something. If you know the grace of God, you know of one truth. Your sins have been forgiven. For the Apostle Paul, Paul knew, all my sins have been what? Forgiven. Paul understood the grace of God. Many of us are not gracious to people. We are judgmental. We are harsh on people. But once you understand the gospel, you begin to understand we are a product of God's grace. What is grace? Grace simply means what? Undeserved favor. Grace means what? You don't deserve it. God gives it to us. Paul does not deserve grace. He does not deserve forgiveness. But God gave him forgiveness. So when you experience the gospel, your past is settled. Your present and your future is assured. That is Paul. What about Peter? Let me ask you a question. Will you want Peter to be the pastor of CCF? Yes or no? Can I tell you something? Of course, all of you are very gracious. You will not mind Peter, but can I tell you? I can imagine in a particular church where the leaders are meeting together, are we going to hire Peter? Are we going to get him to be our pastor? You know why most leaders will say no? You know why? Because when Peter was being trained by Jesus, at the last year of the last week of the life of Jesus, after Peter has been discipled for the longest time, what did Peter do? He denied Jesus. How many times? You know how he denied him? The first time it was a young girl. The girl said, you are with Jesus. What did Peter say? Sorry, I don't know who is this man. And then another girl. The girl said, you are with Jesus. What did Peter say? In Tagalog. No comprende. I don't know who is Jesus. The third time, confronted again. The Bible tells us Peter cursed. Shouting. I don't know him. I don't know him. Now, between us, do you want somebody who is being trained by Jesus? Upon graduation time, he denied the master. Will you want him to be a pastor? You see what I'm saying? Friend, the gospel is so amazing. It gives all of us a new beginning. Some of us have known Jesus, but you've turned away and you think you are finished. No, you are never finished. The gospel gives you every day a new opportunity to walk and serve Jesus. And that, my friend, is why once you know the gospel, it goes to your heart, it transforms your life. Grace will transform. Grace will never tolerate sin. It is impossible. You will change. Of course, you know James, right? James was transformed. Therefore, I want you to read the ending of 1 Corinthians 15, part 1. Look at the power of the gospel from the head to the heart. You know why it will impact your heart and your action? If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? He's now talking about the implications of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. He's saying if the resurrection is not true, everything here is a joke. Read the next verse. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. Continue. The Bible tells us, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. What is he saying? If Jesus did not rise again from the dead, then everything we are doing here is totally useless because everything is false. But Christ rose again from the dead. And because Christ rose again from the dead, then everything I'm telling you is true. Your future is assured. According to C.S. Lewis, Christianity, if false, everybody read, is of no importance. If true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. Peter is describing the end of times. He's describing a nuclear war. In that nuclear war, the Bible tells us, look at what's going to happen. The elements will be destroyed with intense heat. Did you know the word for the elements is where you have the word atom, the smallest particle. Intense heat. Description of nuclear fusion. Read the next verse. Since all of these things are to be destroyed, what sort of people you ought to be in holy conduct, godliness, looking and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements, the atoms, will melt with intense heat. You know what Peter is saying? If you know everything is going to be burned up, your houses, your real estate, all your properties, all your paintings, all your riches. Peter is saying, think about it. What life, what kind of life should you live? Now, the Apostle Paul saw something also in the future. You know what the Apostle Paul saw? So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul saw one day when Jesus comes again, the Bible tells us every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Someday there is only going to be one king, the King of Kings. There's only going to be one kingdom, the kingdom of God. And everybody else will submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And that, my friend, is the meaning of the word Judgment Day. If you really believe with all your heart, someday, you know the end game. You know who's going to win the war. You know, I know the end game. You better choose the right side. Do you know people used to say, choose the right side of history? I know history. History has been written. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Now, which side are you on? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. My friend, you keep serving God, you keep being faithful to God because your toil is not in vain. The choice is yours today, to live for Jesus or to live for yourself. Guys, don't feel sorry for pastors. Don't feel sorry for workers. Don't feel sorry for missionaries. Don't feel sorry for your D group leaders. You know why? Because we are doing something we know is worthwhile. It's worth it. I don't want to invest my life on something that is worthless. Would you like your life to count? Everybody, know the gospel. Say that with me. Know the gospel. Believe in the heart and live it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, here I am. I confess to you I'm a sinner. I confess to you I have never taken you seriously. Today, I recognize you as the Messiah, the only one, the Son of God, who died and rose again from the dead. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. I accept the grace of eternal life. I accept the grace of being able to serve you. Change my heart. Today, make it a new day. For the rest of my life, I ask for grace. I ask for strength. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.